Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace.
Continuing with the specials, here's the second of the two snapshots from the hot topic discussions at the LEGO Workplace Symposium. As Kirsty and I outlined in the first episode of our three-part special, you will hear voices from different companies and diverse views on the challenges discussed. The first group chat covered insights to impact for space design.
I brought this one up, but I think for me is the way that we're thinking about the design of our spaces, we have an ability to reset.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at space today and spaces that can serve a dual function, like how are we thinking about the opportunities and even capturing like recent sort of insights on how we think about how we program a space, how you evaluate. And I talked a little about this in our previous conversation. Like our amenities and our cafes and our third places and really leveraging those spaces, much how you might think about a library, like how you might zone it and how you scale it to the home human scale versus just a big cafe, like for someone to actually be able to work from there or collaborate or have, you know, a quiet moment. And you've thought about it for this building too. And like from a vertical standpoint of like buzz to quiet, but really thinking about it horizontally too.
Yes.
And that's sort of where
We've got five initiatives that we're working on that are spatial, that are different from before. They're completely different. Why do we need these things now? One of them is to rationalize, and we talked about it a little bit. You did the same. To rationalize all of our social hubs and say, okay, we're taking out the every other level cafe in our hubs. And we're going to take down those social. So we used to have like kind of 3 points of food delivery or beverage delivery on every floor, which to be honest was way too much. So we took them out and we made a social hub in the center. So that always stacks in the center of the space, but it's very building specific. And so we were just looking at all of the buildings when we were redesigning them and making those decisions to take down the facilities, like from an everyday point of view, and then also make the social areas more purposeful. So that's one element. The other element that we're working with is presentation pods, because we do see the need for people to have a height adjustable table within a room, which is really good acoustics, where they can actually present to external partners or to internal partners or for sales need. So instead of having a two-person room where we would just be two people, we see more of a need for a one-person room where it's just about presentations. So that's all. It could be presenting to your team, or it could be you're an agile coach and you're leading a team or whatever. So that's one room that we're piloting.
Is that a small room where you can stand and present to remote?
Yes. And it's got a ring light and it's got a really great mic and it's got, you know, and everything. So it's just like, it's so much easier because you normally have to find that space at home. It was okay. But it's more professional. It's got a good backdrop. It feels like much more. And then at home, we're also piloting stuff.
So, and it's more meaningful because you really have to present to externals.
And maybe also internals and feel the brand. Yeah. Because when you're at home, you don't feel the brand and the identity, and we feel the loss of belonging. So you might have like some things that you could put on your shelves behind, but we're looking at posters, we're looking at like a home kit, you know, plants in your
own brand.
So it's like the whole experience, really.
We did a DIY recording studio last year for the purpose, first for leaders to be able to record more branded messages, but also with a good sound quality, and that connection was a bit clear. But now teams also use it. Like my team used it to like do a little like snappy video for the panorama to get people excited. And it's, like almost like a selfie stick with a ring light, acoustics, good microphone, and then the backdrop can be changed. It's just
it's like mini content capture.
That's right. We also did a pilot called Clubhouse. I mean, we're just like the same company. And we deliberated over this name, and we were so proud when we came up with it. And like In the airport, there's a clubhouse. Here, there's but it's the meeting spaces, and that we keep getting feedback that we don't have enough meeting rooms.
Yep.
But the thing is, people want to come together to meet, not necessarily, or to collaborate, but not necessarily in a meeting room. Like, they don't always need the full tech setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in our clubhouse, we have three, we're calling them domains. So it's like the lounge where there's, you know, couches and there's a lot more better use of space plus music. So the conversations don't feel kept.
Yes, exactly.
Touchdown space is sort of like if you're in between meetings rather than taking up a desk for a day where your code is just there, you're like in a space moving back and forth. And the third is focus, so where it's no tech and all quiet, so that people can focus on their work. And it's not like, hey, do you have a minute? So we're thinking in domains. Was I talking with you about where it's sort of like you have the center that is loud and the connection point, and then you kind of deliberately move out by domains on what type of work or work styles need.
But it should be okay to speak at your desk, because I think that's one thing that got really confusing was speaking at your desk. We talked about it.
Same. What we also hear from our employees is that when they come to the office, they also want to sit with their teams, and they don't want to sit the entire day in meeting rooms.
Yes.
Is that something that's known? Because what we are doing at the moment is that teams are assigned to a team base, almost similar to the neighborhood concept that you have downstairs. And neighborhood offers a variety of different kind of space types, so from hybrid workstations to also focus workstations, not deep focus because it's not completely enclosed, but it is semi-enclosed with paneling, acoustic paneling, etc. But by offering that, teams can do the different kind of tasks, but stay in their own neighborhood.
Exactly what we have with, we have focus, collaborate, and your desk in your area. And then we have the bolt-on of the quiet rooms, and then we have the bolt-on of like training, collaboration spaces, and then we have meeting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, we're doing exactly that.
Yeah.
That's like... And then you've got to choose how much focus or collaboration.
Yeah, that's the question right now. And that's why you need to collect feedback to determine what are the optimal ratios right now.
Yes.
And that could also differ per employee group.
Finance is similar.
How do you program that? Because the biggest concern with database working for us is one size fits no one.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, you are a team of this many people, you get this many phone boxes, this many desks, and it's very workplaces driven. We're trying to move to a more leader-led approach to where they know the work styles of their people and want them to have the ownership. How do you program for that?
Oof.
I mean, I think for us, we are trying to understand worker profiles. We have kind of the Eng team. We're really heavy on Eng and folks that really need a focus, and it's really difficult for them to let go of their desks.
Mm.
And so we struggle with the activity-based model and agile desking because folks really have a strong attachment to their workstation, to the way that they set up their dual screens, to everything, and you know, the ergonomics of it. So I think however, we're trying to shift and pilot Eng teams to shift towards more of like activity-based neighborhood with a variety of different work styles, you know, multiple work points, individual desks, and, you know, nooks for focus work. And so we're still in the discovery phase of it in terms of how we program for it. But then we also think about, you know, the profile of especially for those that are more management roles that are more collaborative and are much more heavy around meeting rooms and the adjacencies that they need. And so it might be that they are okay having more open desking with maybe an open video conference because kind of hearing each other having relevant conversations is less disruptive than hearing each other have non-relevant conversations.
Yeah.
But I think all this is, when we introduced flexible work, that the activity base, we call it unlimited, because it is unlimited. The activities are changing all the time. So now it's different activities, and we just need to adjust to that. So now we're saying you're putting studios up, you're putting whatever, but we need to adjust that all the time. So what activities do you do has changed. So if I look just into Poland, for instance, they used to come in every day, sitting at a desk, doing operational work, just sitting, doing, going home. Now they will probably come in maybe once a month, maybe once a week, and they will not come in to sit at the desk. But right now, when they return to office, that is what it looked like because that was what they asked for. But what activity do they want to do now when they are coming in? That is probably training, is probably socializing, onboarding new colleagues and all that. And therefore, we need to redesign. And I think that we in this room need to be more ready to try out. We have some good examples, but more like trying things out, adapting, using, and then once again, try it out. And as we discussed, you can, I said in your other meeting, we're always discussing the noise. But maybe it's not the noise which you take out of the room.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the silence.
Exactly.
You need to have the silence because you're coming in to get the vibe. That's why you are in office. So, and you cannot never, you need to, people that want less noise, they also want to be close to colleagues, so they not move to the library and all that. So it's more like saying, okay, so when you are in these larger areas, it will be noisy.
Yeah, but if you want to give people good
headphones.
Yeah, but we're also discussing that because that's what we did in the past. But if you really give headphones, then people will also completely isolate themselves.
Yeah, but then I think you have to have some visual. You have to have some kind of visual hair. Yeah, because even if you just want to finish an email, and I mean, like, for me, everyone is like, not for me, like, okay, do you want to go for coffee now? It's like, okay, I can only have like 20 coffees a day. I'm going to be fried.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's good to be able to give someone a visual cue. If you don't want to move to a private space, if you want to move to a private space, that should obviously be.
Yeah, I think it's also about one of the things that I really loved about dinner yesterday. One thing that came up was about is the question that you asked, which is about what is it that you want to do, not what is it that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was the kitchen analogy, right? Like, what is it that you want this kitchen to do for you? What is rather than what do you need in this kitchen? Because really, because then to your point about why is it that people are coming in, or they're coming in for whatever, coming together as a team. But when you then ask them what they need, they just take what they already know and say, so we need tables and desks together. They don't need that, because when we sit in our neighborhood and our desks are goddamn 1.4 meters wide, that means that I only sit with two people next to me. The rest of my team are like 5 meters away. What we really need to do as a team is actually come together in a much smaller space, right? Where we don't actually sit at an adjustable height desk. So what we do as a team, we, with our 3 days a week, we have 1 day a week where we sit in our neighborhood with our department, so we're available to them. But we also then know we're not really together as a team. And then on our Wednesdays, that's where we actually go and sit together in a much smaller informal space with our laptops, not the external screens and mouse and all that stuff. And we sit down in the people house by the fireplace lounge, and we actually come together as a team.
So that's a team agreement that you've made. Yeah. Like to
exactly.
Which is really great.
For sure.
But I think to the point of R&D, that we have exactly the same problem, and we're halfway through that process now. And what we found was we actually had to show it to people.
Yes.
Like, we actually had to, like, here's all the desks. This is what you have now. This is blue. This means office mates. This is red. This means home mix. So in your squad of 12 people, you have like 9 office mix and, you know, whatever, 3 home mix. Or it might be like you have 2 home mix, 2 office mix. And you will be alone in this space. So don't try and keep the desks, because this is going to be an empty ship. And, you know, how will that feel for you? And just bringing it forward. And then they're like, well, shit, yeah, I don't want to sit here if no one's here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, yeah, why don't you merge these 2 squads and give it to them and say, okay, well, if you merge these 2 squads, you can also get a collaboration area, or you can have a focus area. You decide, this is the palette of goods.
Mm-hmm.
You slot that in. So giving that, then that co-creation.
But I think it is just, again, a little bit challenging, because I think if you show the examples of what you can do, that's great. But again, very often, if you're just asking the question of what you
need. Oh, we did that before. We asked them before, like, what do you want this space to do for you?
Yeah.
And so I think that what they wanted to do was they didn't want to have to book meeting rooms all the time. They want to have their stand up at 9:30 every day.
Mm.
If they have their stand up at 9:30 every day next to another stand up at 9:30 every day, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Mm.
So did we kind of block off that whole floor and say, okay, between 9:30 and 10:30, this is only available in meeting rooms for these guys to book.
Mm.
This whole floor can book, like, just from that space. No one else. And then that gives them, one has the stand-up, one has the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can switch between. But just opening up the tech and opening up the availability for all of those spaces and saying, hey, you design where that pocket has kind of gone,
mm-hmm.
where those home users are now at home. You cannot have your desks plus this, you know, plus this collaboration, plus the meeting room, plus, you can't have all of that because it doesn't make sense. But you could have 2 desks within this space. And then if your whole team comes, they can book a whole flex squad. So we started to make flex squads because we saw that coming a piece of the kind of information.
So you have to book all of these different areas throughout the day?
No, so no. Like you have, I can...
Oh yeah, whiteboard it on every wall. Everything except the floor.
Like 12 desks. And then we had, actually we had a gap here, and we had like a squad space where, stand-up space, and then we had a stand-up. And then we had like that mirrored. And these people would stand here and talk, like, and they couldn't hear each other, so they didn't want to, like, it was just annoying. So we took that out of the equation, and we put it like kind of more on the corridor so that we blocked their area.
Right.
That's a film sketch, but you know. And then you've got like kind of people sitting around, and we put a sofa area within their area, so they had like their own space they could create, but with less people. And then we created like a flex squad where they could go to, which was like many more desks, where they could kind of break out. And then this area was actually larger, and it had like the stand-up, so this kind of thing, stand-up area, sofa and chairs. And then here it also had like lots of whiteboards and stuff like that, digital whiteboard as well. So that they could really kind of like, okay, we've got a bigger area that we can actually rent out. But they're not sitting in there all the time. They're sitting in this situation.
Rent out
and then
book.
Rent out. Like,
interesting phrasing.
But because the thing is that they're all like about ownership.
Yeah.
And we have to change the phrasing to be like this camp. Oh, this another thing we did was the desk booking, instead of them, because they wanted to have their setup and everybody's keep it, like what you're saying. If you desk book that for an entire year, but then that obviously if you leave or something, then that desk becomes available. But it allows us to see what's being used. So if office mix is sitting here and here, and that is booked. The home mixer, say they're coming once a day, they can actually sit in this space because they see it's available. But if you don't book it, you don't know what's available, and you might just come in as a home mixer and sit there, and that would be horrible.
Right. Yeah, gotcha.
Because that guy who's like set up this beautiful equipment is like, I just didn't tell him too late, you took my space.
Gotcha.
So I think that's why we put desk booking in R&D.
So each team has a dedicated area, but actually the seats are bookable within that.
Exactly.
And then you have additional shared space that the team can then
exactly.
also book.
Exactly. And so, and you've got meeting rooms.
Okay.
So basically,
yes.
like
yes.
this team,
okay.
the reason why this team has this space, well, we have
desk
booking, is so that we can see the data later.
Yeah. And do you see with desk booking also that people just very much in the front, in the
yes.
front because they are concerned that they're running out of desks.
No, so what we're doing is, okay, so if we get desk booking for hot desking, that's not what we're doing. We're desk booking to make the engineers feel safe and to give them that security over a long span.
Gotcha.
How long? Like, what's
like up to a year? It could be up to the next time that they choose between home and office.
Gotcha.
So they're choosing their spot for
that long
for a long
yeah.
time.
And that's what they wanted. And they were flipping out when we said you can only book it for like 6 months. Oh, that's not enough.
And then, so they book it for a year, and then they...
But you can
just,
always change it. I mean,
yeah, okay, but then they have the guarantee that they can work there for the whole year behind the desk.
Yeah, basically, it's like giving them an assigned desk without giving them an assigned desk.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you have to be, like, equitable to office mix who aren't allowed to do that. So, I'm sorry, you're to the business side, who we don't have any desk booking, and we don't need any desk booking.
Yeah, okay.
But in this case, we do.
So how do you differentiate, you have the terminology, office mix, home mix, flex, stand-up. Are those your kids?
No, office mix and home mix is like the way that you work. Like,
and I just want to interrupt because I need to just tell the others to wrap up. I just want to say one thing in terms of spatial design and I think operations and the whole noise thing. I think this is where it's so important that the whole workplace experience comes together because what we find is we design all of these spaces and then, you know, the operations team decides not using it in the canteen. And so no one uses that because it's so quiet and they don't really get why we've designed it to have music in there because you want people to use it. So I just think
the
it's
experience
important
and that has to come together.
Yeah,
yeah, it has to be really programmatic.
Exactly.
Yeah. So your question about office mix and home mix is the two choices that you get and the way that you work. So office mix is mostly in the office.
Yeah.
But this is about like squats. I guess that's what they call them. It's like
teams.
Before, no, because teams is like business side, and then squats is what they call themselves internally. No, so you're like, you have, it's a bit complicated, but it's like they have a squad, and then they have a mission, and then they have squad, and then tribe, and then mission. If you're talking about people who make algorithms, for example, they're split into like a lot of squads, but they ladder up to tribe, and then they ladder up to a mission.
Is this tech speak?
Yeah.
A little bit. We think about it that way too. Ours is actually team, neighborhood, and then
village.
Yeah.
But I think Gary's actually, I really like the way that you walk.
I don't know if it's right. I mean, I think that showing them the options of like, hey, do you want to stand up with a sofa? That's how we get very basic in that sense. But then on the flip side, the basic kiss apart then allows them to make their complicated layers, which they need to feel safe and to work productively.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we're struggling with is always communication about, like, why do you have desk booking? It's not for the normal hot desking. You're not going to have to change every day.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually secure your space for a long term. But mm-hmm. as a home person who only comes in the office, you can also then see where that space has been kept.
Mm-hmm.
So do you also measure the usage? So
yeah, we'll get the usage aspect, but we're not particularly worried about that. I think that we will see that from the space sensors we have in the ceilings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can put that data with the desk data, with the entry data, and then hopefully that all comes together.
I think coming back to where you start saying, you should work, because you're just putting standard in. Everyone is starting with standard, because it's the most flexible, it's the standard. True phone booth, true whatever, that is what we do. And then you start doing, as you just described it, having the close dialogue, building on data, but also building on the dialogues you're having, what you need, understanding. And to have that more like, we call it neighborhood, this is about sharing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to share, we have a limited resource, that is the square meters.
Mm-hmm.
How can we share that? To do that, you cannot have a close, we used to have home zones,
mm-hmm.
very few people. That was the first to get people out in the flexible and activity-based work. Just so, you will be there. And I was saying, no, we need to have these neighborhoods where it would be like 100, 200 people together,
mm-hmm.
but it's a neighborhood, because then you can create what you just
mm-hmm.
put up there. And when it's just coming back to the activities has changed, we also look into, should we have a concept like home at work? Because the feeling of being at home, what you have there, sitting in the sofa, whatever, maybe people want to have a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Returning,
mm-hmm.
coming into office. It is not just desk, not just squats, not just. And I was like, I'm being home. So that home feeling.
Yeah, that comfort.
Yeah.
I think that has to be driven into all the design.
Exactly.
It's my view, because if you don't have sofas and if you don't, it feels super sterile.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think also like planting, don't be afraid to put curtains in. We just had this amazing time at home where you've got all of your curtains and all of your acoustics, and suddenly you go back to the office and you're like, whoa.
You know,
it's very harsh. Yeah.
Following is now the second group chat that looked at how to orchestrate purposeful meetings.
Yeah, so super curious. Purposeful meetings, responsible travel are two projects we are really focused on. So back actually pre-COVID, we started already kind of speaking about these ideas, shifting toward more purposeful behaviors around those two topics.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely starting to work on the hybrid work model. We early on identified these two ways of working will also need to change in the future. So after rolling out Best of Both, our hybrid work model, we now this year have brought into focus the two topics here. So yeah, tackling it from a around the meeting culture, we were just speaking about how it's a very holistic approach we're taking. So really approaching it from a cultural perspective and saying, in order to achieve our key focus area of having smarter meetings, meaning let's purposely think about how much time do we actually need to use? Are the right people in the meeting? Is it too many people? Could we actually, you know, be more clever about the way we're using our time? But in order to do that, we have some enablers, and that's definitely behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We've really talked about fear of missing out and how do we actually say no to meetings and are we comfortable and how do we, if we attend a meeting, how do we actually say, oh, sorry, I'm just going to step out now because I don't really have a key role here. And there's so many behavioral aspects in it, and also around enabling meetings. And so really, having the right digital tools and really understanding how to utilize them for different types of meetings and, you know, not treating every meeting the same. So
it's a real overhaul.
It's a really overall, approach and just saying, how can we from the kind of cultural side nudge this behavior, but how can we work really closely with digital and say, can we digitally nudge people? Can we change things? And can we, you know, can we embed an agenda that, you know, instead of people having to behaviorally go in, type it out, say, oh, what do I want to do? Spend the time on that. Can we actually create something and embed it in there for people? So really putting those things
very interesting. Great.
It's like a meeting experience almost, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great opportunity to kind of really rethink that, right?
Yes.
Isn't it? And I know it's needed, but at the same time, I know lots of organizations would say that actually meetings were quite broken anyway.
before
the pandemic. So it is a really, really good opportunity.
No, I just shared the narrative there before that, that in my former company, and I will not mention any name here, but we had a monthly breakfast meeting with the CEO. And we only had this kind of turtle telephone on the table, right? And then people were dialing in from remote. And he was using whiteboards and kind of all the stuff in the room, right? And and then opened up the mic and asked any questions, and they had no clue what's going on. Right?
Absolutely.
It was an okay meeting if you were in the meeting the room, but joining from remote, I'm quite sure that it was not a good meeting experience, but we just accepted it, right? Mm-hmm. I said, but that's the technology we have and that's how it is, right? Mm-hmm. But we will never accept that again, right? This is maybe also a little bit of an extreme.
I've been in those kinds of meetings before. It's terrible. Exactly. And actually, I've been in a meeting before where that's happened and then I've gone, but there's actually somebody inside that turtle. You know, we're forgetting about exactly, but we can't do that anymore, which is again great. So what are you guys doing?
What I can share is, you know, sustainability is the almost highest on our agenda, and sustainability is how to achieve that and how to support organization to be able to do that. And meetings and traveling, it's definitely a big part of that. I think it's a little bit complex to be able to achieve those targets, so to speak. We need to understand our behaviors, because I think we need to change ourselves. At the same time, we need technology that they can support the new behaviors. Mm. We just talked about hybrid meetings. Yeah. And Mika, you just shared your experience. It's a typical one. How to achieve seamless experience? How to describe seamless experience? Mm. If we have people joining online, avoiding traveling, saving our planet, saving money, which is good for company, which is good for our planet. But at the same time, how to enable as seamless as possible experience for everybody. It's not easy, but we need to share our experience. We need to support each other. And we need, according to me, to work cross-functional. We need support from all different elements connected to workplace and workplace experience.
I need to pick on something you mentioned, Meredith, which I think was really, really interesting, because creating the culture around the meeting is extremely important, right? And what we have seen a little bit during the pandemic here, when everyone was working remote, and you probably also recognize that, Momo being in a Swedish company, we have a lot of consensus, right? And that actually meant that it was difficult to workshop. It was the idea creation process was quite difficult from remote, for instance. So they actually ended up with a program manager or project manager kind of going quite far, because they needed to put together the facts and whatever they needed to present. So instead of kind of aligning and have a creative workshop and kind of develop whatever you need to develop down the line, we actually went quite far. And then presented to the group.
It's already decided.
It was almost
so
like
interesting. It's
almost decided, right?
Yeah.
And then, but we don't agree, or blah, 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 and then back and forth, and then backpedaling 2 months almost, right? And then forward again, because it was difficult to kind of have that creativity and creative process. So we're just way too far.
And engagement.
I think
that's so important. Because it's one thing saying, I can be very, very productive on my own remotely, but then what happens when you're kind of not taking people with you?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that journey so much. And we're really trying to dial up our co-creation. And I think as a company, we share, we're very co-creative. We really work agile. But in the same situation, we're really bringing it so far before we bring it to the group that it's nearly like, so this is where we're at. What do we think? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, go forward. And it's really a process. Actually, in this project, we're testing it out. How can we co-create earlier on? We made a community of colleagues where we've reached out at the beginning, before we even said, what do we want to do in the project? Do you want to volunteer? We made sure we had end users from different parts of the organization, different skylines, globally to join this group. And we really are trying to bring them into the process of thinking along with us. We have the subject matter experts coming up with some ideas as well, bringing in, testing those ideas out and try to co-create earlier on in the process. Because traditionally, by default, we normally work in this method where, you know, you just maybe a small project group or an individual getting very far in the process before you engage and test that out. That's, I think, really why it ties together very closely with ways of working. It's all behavioral habit changing, a different way of working and approaching it.
But also inclusivity. And I know that was also a topic discussed at this symposium and so on, right? That we have democratized the meeting experience and everyone was working remote, right? Now we find ourselves in a hybrid where some, and now I mentioned the example with the turtle, right? But how do we avoid going back to that, right? How do we make sure that we also have the technology that enables it? We change a small thing, but for instance, we change all our laptops. So now I have a whiteboard in my laptop. I can actually write on my screen on the laptop, which actually means with the right technology that I can join a meeting in a physical meeting room on the same premises as everyone else in the meeting room. And I can actually join the whiteboarding and I can actually do, and so the technology here is extremely important to play in. And then I think we also connect a little bit to the travel part, right? And I think that kind of holistic experience as well, why do we then travel? What can we actually somehow try to build around the technology and the meeting experience that can somehow actually reduce our travel? And within the Exxon, we have actually committed not to reduce cost by 50%, but the CO2 emission by 50%. Yeah. And that has been close alignment between, okay, what technology do we put in place? What kind of meeting experience do we put in place?
And what behaviors?
The behaviors and the culture and everything around it. Mm. And how is that enabling that we need to travel less? I still need to travel for relationships and there, and actually try to kind of also envision, why do we then need to travel? Probably don't need to travel 8 times during a project to kind of just align and see each other and so on. So why do we actually travel and really try to nail that one?
And asking those questions first place, whereas I think before, and I still see some organizations aren't asking those questions, and that's where they're running into lots of challenges around the assumption that they're just trying to kind of recreate the old habits in a new world, which is just, you know, which is not what you're talking about here. You're talking about really asking that question to get the purpose of why the meetings are happening. Yeah. So do you want to talk a bit more about that? Yeah,
exactly.
That'd be great.
Exactly. And I think it's so important that you really purposefully think about what type of meeting it is that really initiates how much time can we spend. Do we need relationship building, or is it a recurring, you know, project check-in where we can actually minimize the time and the participants, dive right in, be really focused and, you know, output oriented? Or is it ideation? Is it, you know, do we need to add elements where we socially connect, where we put, you know, some playful energizers or brain breaks in between, where we need actually more time, where we need different people coming in and out? And I think that really being more thoughtful about what type of meetings they are can really help guide having the smarter meetings.
It's really, it's just kind of dawning on me now, because we've been talking about this for a couple of days now, but it's really looking at around meetings through those different layers of experience, right? So physically, do we need to be on-site, off-site?
Yeah.
Digitally, what are the tools that we need? Behaviorally, how are we going to be? It's just really laddering up through all of those different operationally, you know, what is the agreement that we're putting in place around it? So it's just a real light bulb moment for me to see how actually it's just almost like a checklist. Where do we need to be? What tools do we need?
Exactly.
What brain state do we need to be in? Is it divergent? Is it convergent? Are we making a decision? What's the output? Actually, we could simple checklist.
Mapping out the user journeys is what we've tried to do as well, and put those tips and tricks. Do we say, let's meet physically? And how does that affect our physical workplaces and what we build and create physically for people to enable in physical meetings? Is it something that we say, oh, let's do it all online for inclusivity? And where's that margin for the hybrid meetings? Because, you know, I know we're all struggling with that. That's maybe not first choice.
But it does happen. Mm-hmm. There are times where it is okay where it happens, and how do we define that window?
And create a common language, right? And the safe environment where we also speak up, right? Yeah. So that if I actually join from remote and I'm not necessarily 100% happy with how that meeting is actually speak up and say, okay, guys, you need to remember that we're some actually joining from remote here, right? Or if I had my hand up, or actually also challenge. I still find invites where we have 35 people in invites talking about a topic. 35 people for 1 hour. That's almost a week of work, right? And if you can actually put the money, how much that the financials on it, right? That's a quite costly meeting, right? But we just think that we just need to include everyone here, right? And there. And then we believe that if putting together 35 people in the same Teams room, then we have alignment and then we can continue.
Well, right? And then if you think about that, just one person within that, think about just kind of zoom in on that person and their day. If their day is full of those just 1 hour, 35 people meetings, right? That's where we get the burnout.
I think that's pointing to something I find very important. So I really like the framing purposeful meetings, coming back to COVID, because number one problem solving tool is let's book a meeting for anything, because you kind of had to. And we see what we do with clients, we struggle with that burden. So we have a tsunami of meetings just following on. So maybe on the checklist for purposeful meetings should also be maybe the first question, do we need a meeting?
Yeah, and that really goes into that asynchronous and synchronous type of work. When can we actually do it, you know, via email, via chat, by a call, by a, you know, another method where I don't need you in real time to talk this through. Mm. You can choose when to pick my messages up or, my, you know, you can choose when to interact. And I think that's definitely a step one.
We have increased our meetings with 2.5 times compared to before the pandemic, right? So we find ourselves in more than what we used to do, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is probably actually highlighting the pain point here. Right?
And what we see for people, what happens then is you lose control, the sense of control over your own time.
Yeah.
That's actually a huge factor in just motivation and retention. So that's hugely important. So what we try to do to turn the tide, and we haven't solved it, and I think many are struggling, right, is to actually get leaders to start deflating the balloon and say, maybe, for example, on Thursday from 12 to 2, you can find me around this area. Come by, check in, let's have a talk. You can't book me. You cannot book me for a meeting. But then maybe we can solve some of the things that we would book meetings for before start. Showing, you know, we could actually skip some meetings.
Has anyone done any training around meetings? Because it strikes me that actually we kind of need to relearn how to meet. So
this
This
is exactly what I just note here, that actually we need to improve our meeting skills because we spend so much time, and it's almost by default, you know, both to book a meeting and to participate. I tested a couple of times to send a question to the people who just invite me with a simple question. Okay, what do you expect from me? Should I prepare something? And many times, maybe 95%, no, but I just think it could be great that you participate. You know, I said, but no, thank you. I have something else. Which means, you know, the invitation is probably, you know, for some good reason, but yeah, it's good if he's with us. But for me, this hour, 2 hours spending at the purposeless meeting from my point of view doesn't add value.
But have you any experience? Because I've also seen organizations, and we have not tried it out, and it's probably also a little bit of a dangerous one, but that's another question. But where you actually give feedback after a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm. We have talked about putting that in again to these user journeys, asking for it directly either in the end of the meeting or saying, contact me afterwards for feedback on how the meeting
is. Maybe a little survey
needs to be
afterwards.
Integrated, right? Because Teams meeting, there is a feedback.
There is.
But it's what is the meeting quality on Teams if you do that? But no one is ever asking, you know, was it a good meeting? Coming back to your question about training, I think it's super difficult to make time because we're in meetings, so we don't have time to improve. you can figure
really
that out.
Point.
But it needs to be integrated. So, you know, when you book, you'll get advice. When you do have the meeting, there
because
will
then
come
it's purposeful
some prompts.
Training.
Yeah, and I was
yeah there will be something on the table. You know, what should you do before, under, after the meeting? Mm. So stuff like that needs to be fully integrated. And then you can have the opportunity to maybe get some training. But I don't have too much
I agree trust with in you.
Training programs.
But again, back to the common language, right? Prompts, if you need to give feedback based, okay, we have to find what we believe in a meeting. What is a good meeting, for instance?
Where, what are our best practices? What are we actually...
And then that is actually what you compared up against.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So that I may have one idea of a good meeting, you may have another one, right? So if you then evaluate and give me feedback, then I said, but this was a wonderful meeting, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be like a checklist almost, like we've reached this, and this in our best practices.
And then the more that people experience great meetings, the more they're going to be able to...
The more it becomes a habit. It becomes more of a behavioral. And to your point, I think we have to meet people where they are, because we have really talked about facilitating meetings needs to be better, but we have to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. And you have people who are really naturally good at it or really intentful, and you have people who have no idea, not to make it sound like that, but, you know, there's a lot of behavioral movement that has to happen before we can actually dive into being better facilitators of meetings and this whole behavioral side of, like, who do I invite? Is it even a meeting? You know, that whole process, I think, needs to become more natural first. And then we talk about maybe in the second half of the year, okay, now what about facilitating materials? How can we actually enable people to facilitate these different types of meetings better? Can we provide some tools? I think there's so much work to do before we even can get to that.
Can I ask you, what are your thoughts on that? One is to define the concept and, you know, be smart about avoid meetings, better meetings, all that. How do you then activate it? How do you embed it in the organization and integrate? What are your thoughts right now?
So we're doing two different things that are going on in parallel. One is on the digital side, the whole test, create products, test, implement. And that goes directly into, again, your tools, your Outlook, your Microsoft Teams. What different, you know, settings do we have? So currently we're working with what do we underutilize in those tools currently that we can tap into, send some nudging, automatic nudging when you, you know, click here for an example, you know, view templates. You can actually populate that globally with a template that everybody can just tap into, click it, embed it. And then we're doing a test and launch of products with this community of colleagues, and then kind of decision making and then launching, eventually doing some back-end engineering ourselves if these functions aren't going to be available. Mm. And then in parallel, we're creating what we call a deployment kit. So that is where, like, the user journeys are mapped out. That's where the best practices are, the tips and tricks, the quick links to more tools and so forth. So that's more of a communication strategy, providing materials globally, having leaders role model utilize these different materials. So sort of a double approach.
Like a pincer movement.
Yeah.
That's great. I may have a little bit of a future outlook, because we actually looked a little bit in being a tech company, of course, looking into 5G and so on. What would that actually enable? And we strongly believe that since the Internet of Senses, for instance, will play a quite key role in this metaverse and so on, where you can actually go into the virtual in the metaverse and actually experience your senses as well.
You
can actually boost your senses. We can actually have an augmented reality meeting where we can actually shake hands and we can actually feel that we are shaking hands.
Yeah.
So I think there will also be a lot of technology opportunities here that will make a better experience going forward. But it will never replace the physical meeting, I'm quite sure.
And when we spoke about the VR, because that also taps into the responsible travel. I mean, going out globally to look at different sites, you know, and get a sense for it. I mean, where can we actually do that maybe with VR a little bit more and be more purposeful about when to travel or what can we experience?
Nice. Well, thank you very much, everyone. That's great. Well, it's been brilliant to be in person, I have to say.
It's amazing. I agree.
It's great. Well, lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
10 out of 10 feedback.
Purposeful meeting.
That was a purposeful meeting.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We've just released the definitive guide to workplace analytics, for instance. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.